what is the legal basis and justification for the 30-year-long ban on the Kurdistan Workers' Party, the PKK, in Germany, first of all?
Yes, so at first, it is not the question about the terrorist list, like you told, because there was 30 years in 1993 the ban of the Interior Minister Manfred Kanter, a ban against the association PKK. So this was the first ban of the PKK, and later on in 2002, it was also listed on the European Union's terror list. And yes, this is the legal basis and justification still till now for the ban.
How has the PKK ban affected the Kurdish community in Germany, particularly in terms of civil rights and freedoms?
In a massive way, because the persecution of the Kurdish community is linked to the let at least to a completely legal behavior here in the Republic. That means if you do anything which has to do with a totally legal thing, like, for example, participation in meetings or participations on the street and demonstrations or so on, it can be an expression of activity for the PKK. And then you are in the danger to be prosecuted because of the ban of the association PKK.
Thank you. Can the current approach towards the PKK be seen as a form of collective punishment or criminalization of the entire Kurdish community in Germany, do you think?
Yes, it can be seen like that. In any case, it is a point of or a kind of general suspicious against the Kurdish community, because any commitment of the Kurdish cause and, for example, demonstrations, activity for changing the situation in Turkey regarding the Kurdish problem, but also regarding the question of democracy in Turkey, can be prosecuted because of that. Because if it's linked in the eyes of the prosecutors to the PKK, it can be, or it is banned, and for this, it can be prosecuted.
How has the Germany relationship with Turkey influenced its stance on the PKK and its policies towards the Kurdish community?
I think a lot of people know that it's still always to be said that the political and economic connections between Germany and Turkey are very old, go back a long, long way and play a major role, because Turkey is an important ally for the Federal Republic of Germany, and so it is an interest of Turkey also to play a role in the or to impact the Federal Republic of Germany in their interests. But on the other hand, the Federal Republic of Germany has also its own interests. The left-wing movement, for example, the Kurdish movement, and especially a militant community like the Kurdish people are in a way, must be controlled. This is our own interest of the Federal Republic of Germany, but it has also to do with this that the Turkey has or is a very necessary ally for the Federal Republic of Germany, and therefore it is both, out of my view.
How does the ban align with Germany principles of democratic and academic freedom, considering the recent events like the cancellation of the Kurdish conference at Hamburg University?
Out of my view, not at all, because look, for example, the ban in the University of Hamburg, but also a lot of bans, which happens the last years, sometimes not, about demonstrations, about meetings, and all this is nothing else than basic democratic rights are denied. Democratic meetings are denied, banned, and often at the request of the Secret Service. And this means nothing else than abolition of democratic rights.
The PKK has publicly reannounced the violence in Germany since 1995. So, how does this factor into the ongoing justification for the ban?
Look, first, I want to say that apart from the fact that the ban was, out of my view, not justified from the start, means from 1993, but nevertheless, with the declaration of the renunciation of violence, which the PKK did, and with and demonstrable compliance with it, which happened, there is really no longer any justification for the ban. There are no crimes here in Germany. There are no threats to the internal security, always the arguments for the ban of the associations. And this is proven. There is an evaluation about it. And it is proven that there is no crime and no threat to internal security. But nevertheless,
from a human rights perspective, what are the legal and ethical implications of the ban that still continues?
Again, out of my view, the most important point is this, if political, if democratic rights are denied for a part of the population, in this case, for the Kurdish community, or for all the people who are dealing with this point and with this struggle, then this means an effect to the entire society. Because this says something about the state of affairs, namely how much democratic rights still exist overall. If you ban them for one part and they are abolished for one part, then that means that in this society there's a ban or an abolition of democratic rights.
How does Germany's stance on the PKK influence European Union policy regarding the Kurdish issue?
Unfortunately, we don't know this exactly. It would be good to have protocols about it. But what we know, especially from Belgium, because we have some contact with the Belgian colleagues and something, and also from the Netherlands, and as perhaps some people know, but it's necessary to say again, perhaps, in Belgium there was a trial against PKK members on charges of terrorism, but it ended with the finding that the PKK is an actor in an international conflict, and the members are therefore not terrorists. And this led to that, as far as we know, that Germany put some pressure against this finishing a case, because it's not in the mean, or it's not the point of view of Germany, as we know. And sure, it is like that. Germany plays a big role politically, economically in the European Union. It's powerful in the European Union. And therefore, sure, it's trying to influence other countries in this favor and to punish as terrorists and not to accept that it's an international conflict.
So what legal pathways are available for challenging the PKK ban, and what potential outcomes could arise from the upcoming protests and legal actions as well?
So, sure, we must continue to fight. And this means not only in the courts, but sure, we have to do it in the courts, and we are forced to do it because we have a lot of procedures against Kurdish people, but we have also to do it on the streets. And we need to reach in the end, and we need to fight for that it's finally recognized that first Turkey is the aggressor against the Kurdish population can defend itself. And secondly, that it's a conflict in the sense of international law and not about terror. And that means also that the terror comes not from the Kurdish people and from the Kurdish struggle, but from the fascist dictatorship in Turkey. And this means also that we have to fight for that there is no longer cooperation between the Federal Republic of Germany and the dictatorship, the regime in Turkey. This would really be a changing for the situation also here. So this is, out of my perspective, are the main aims we have to fight for.